Today's episode is brought to you by the Clackamas County Fair and Rodeo, everything a county fair was meant to be. Coming to you August 16th through 20th, only in Canby. Tickets and information at clackamascountyfair.com or download the new app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Order today at 503-263-8444 or visit them online at oddmos.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A multi-agency investigation spanning nearly a full year culminated last week with the indictment of 14 individuals and the seizure of more than 3,000 catalytic converters stolen from across the Portland metro area, along with hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and luxury items, Beaverton police announced this week. Police say the Portland-based crime ring spans six Oregon counties, including Clackamas, and also reached into Washington, Nevada, California, Texas, and New York. The alleged ringleader, 32-year-old Brennan Patrick Doyle of Lake Oswego, is believed to have trafficked more than 44,000 stolen catalytic converters since January of 2021, with an estimated street value of over $22 million, according to officials. Beaverton detectives began investigating the trafficking of stolen catalytic converters late last year and identified Doyle as the ring's leader in March. The investigation began with 32-year-old Beaverton resident Tanner Lee Hellbush, who allegedly ran an operation fencing the stolen converters. Police stopped Hellbush on March 1st in a vehicle transporting more than 100 stolen converters with an approximate value of $80,000. During the next 5 months, Beaverton detectives determined Hellbush, Doyle, and at least a dozen associates participated in an organized effort to steal catalytic converters from vehicles up and down the West Coast. Police say Doyle's organization capitalized on the increased price of rhodium, platinum, and palladium, valuable metals found in catalytic converters. Rhodium alone is currently valued at more than $14,000 an ounce, up from approximately $2,500 an ounce in 2019. A Washington County grand jury on July 29th handed down indictments for the 14 alleged criminals on charges including racketeering, aggravated theft, and money laundering. Last week's raid included a search of eight locations, including a waterfront residence in Lake Oswego, and led to the seizure of thousands of stolen converters, cash, a high-end vehicle, and jewelry. This investigation was made possible by the assistance of the Washington County District Attorney's Office, the Oregon Department of Justice, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, the Washington County Sheriff's Office, and the Tigard Police Department. We know that crime is increasing here in the metro area, and it threatens the safety of our community, Washington County District Attorney Kevin Barton said at a press conference announcing the arrests on Thursday. The Washington County DA is committed to working with all of our county and city public safety leaders, police department, sheriff's office, to ensure that our community remains safe. Investigators believe the bust will put a significant dent in the epidemic of catalytic converter thefts in the Portland metro area, according to Beaverton Police. Police say the investigation is ongoing. New Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Events Center Executive Director Brian Crow likes to say that he and his team are not in the fair business or the entertainment business. Instead, they're in the business of making memories, and business is good. We're creating an experience for people to come and to make memories, Brian said. This fair has deep, deep roots in the community going all the way back to 1907. It's hard to find anyone in Canby who doesn't have some experience with the county fair. So that's really what we strive for, to create those opportunities for families and adults to create memories that will last a lifetime. Brian Crow joined the Clackamas County team after 6 years as the fairgrounds director and fair coordinator in Jefferson County, where he led two major construction projects and helped the fairgrounds grow even during the pandemic, staging the largest fair in Jefferson County history in 2021. Before that, he enjoyed a long career in the entertainment and live music industry, headlined by the 3 years he served as executive producer of the Boots and Hearts Music Festival, a multi-day country music and camping festival in Ontario, Canada, and the second largest camping and country music festival in North America. Crow believes his experience in the music and hospitality industry prepared him well for county fairs and other large events. My transition into fair was pretty seamless, he said. A lot of the same elements come into play with music festivals because you have stages, the carnival, food vendors. Really, the only thing I didn't have was the agricultural piece with 4-H and FFA. Though originally an area of weakness for him, Crow has quickly adapted to the agricultural component. He now champions the central importance of agriculture to fairs in general and the Clackamas County Fair especially. Canby is unique, especially within the Portland metro area, Crow said. We have a very strong agricultural community here. And I think now, in today's world, it is more important than ever to educate urban dwellers as to what the agricultural community brings. If ag fails, everything fails. You can't go into the grocery store to buy bread because there's no wheat to make bread. I do feel a lot of the current generation doesn't really understand where food comes from, and it's really important for us to showcase agriculture and educate them. While the fairgrounds have stayed busy throughout the summer hosting a number of new large events, including Hair Fest, the Wild Hair Music Festival, and the Bigfoot Festival and beyond, Brian's main goal for the 2022 Clackamas County Fair is not to change much, but simply to continue to build on the rich legacy that has endured for 115 years. Fresh off its record-setting return in 2021, the Clackamas County Fair kicks off this week with a brand new tagline, Everything a County Fair Should Be. That means everything you've come to expect of the crown jewel of Canby's summer events calendar, including local food vendors and favorite treats, live music and entertainment, animal, produce, and craft showcases, the Pioneer Village and Safety Town, a complete midway packed with carnival games and rides and so much more, not to mention one of the best rodeos in the country. Never failing to follow through on its tagline, promising 4 hours of rodeo excitement in only 2 hours, the Canby Rodeo is a world-class event and a major player on the national rodeo circuit. The Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo will be held from August 16th through the 20th. For more information or tickets, visit clackamascountyfair.com and canbyrodeo.com. Small town firefighters are known for their prowess in plucking pets from high places, but first responders had a far more serious situation on their hands Friday as they worked to rescue a stranded parachutist stuck 40 feet up a tree west of Molino. Crews with Clackamas and Molalla Fire responded to reports of a person trapped high in a tree just before 5 p.m. in the 26,000 block of Airport Road. The location was just north of Molino State Airport and the Pacific Northwest Skydiving Center, but officials did not say if the incident was connected, nor did they identify the victim whose parachute had gotten tangled in a pair of dead but still standing trees near a series of outbuildings. Firefighters used the aerial ladder of Clack's Fire's truck T316 to rescue the parachutist, who was not injured. When the traditional kickoff for the Clackamas County Fair, the Kitty Capers Parade, wings its way through downtown Canby Tuesday morning, a fixture in the local high school athletic scene will be leading the way. This year's grand marshals for the Kitty Capers Parade will be the school bus drivers of the Canby School District, and a special appreciation award will go to longtime athletics bus driver Jim Barr, affectionately known as Jimbo by the students, for his attention to each student, cheering on the many teams he has transported over the years, and being a positive light in their lives. Our vision is that Kiwanis will be a positive influence in communities worldwide, so that one day all children will wake up in communities that believe in them, nurture them, and provide the support they need to thrive, said Kiwanis President Angela Baker. We feel that Jim is a shining example of positive influence on the youth in Canby, making our community a place where children can thrive. Jim and Sue Barr graduated from Clackamas High School and operated a successful landscaping business in Wilsonville and Washington State before moving to Canby. Jim was volunteered for the new gig 11 years ago by his loving wife. Sue was driving a school bus in Canby and signed me up, Jim recalled. That's not to say he wasn't interested in the job. I wanted to be a bus driver because I saw it as a chance to impact people's lives, he said. More than ever, kids today need encouragement, a familiar face, and an additional person in their lives to talk to. Just someone to be there for them. While Jim's presence behind the wheel is a critical component of Canby Athletics, for many students, the most memorable role he plays is that of enthusiastic fan. When I was young, my parents rarely could come to my games and activities, he explained. As a parent of three, I was determined to be a support at their activities by attending and cheering on our kids and their friends whenever possible. As a bus driver, I rediscovered the joy of cheering on kids of all ages in their activities. Getting to know coaches and students and parents has brought me full circle. I hope the kids, parents, and coaches know what a privilege and blessing it is for me to be a small part of their lives. I believe I have the best job around and intend to be busy at it for years to come. Go Cougs! Free registration for the Kitty Capers Parade begins at 8 a.m. behind Knight Elementary School, located at Northwest 5th Avenue and North 1st Street. For more information, visit canbykiwanis.org.
Hey, Tyler, we have a furry new friend I wanted to show you. His name is Frankie with an I-E. Isn't that cute?
Oh, I get it, because you're Frankie with a C-K-E.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I know.
The only cute thing I see on this video is me, because you're blurry and frozen.
What? No way. I just got a new phone, and it's supposed to have a great camera.
Dude, you can have the best camera in the world, but you still freeze up if your video calls don't have quality internet.
So what should I do? Frankie's playing in the pool and it's absolutely adorable.
I'm guessing you're using your mobile data for this FaceTime call, right? Just connect to your home Wi-Fi instead. I bet your video comes through just fine. You did just upgrade to direct link with Wi-Fi and fast upload speed, so you might as well get the best use out of them.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, hang on. There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I should be on my Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
Can you see Frankie in the pool?
Oh, he looks like he's having a blast. See what fast upload speeds can do? For upload and downloads at the speed of visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give him a call at 503-266-8111.
Frankie, give me back my phone.
I'm Roz Mason. I'm running for Oregon Senate District 26. This is a rural district, and while our area has historically been seen as a Republican stronghold, this is simply no longer the case. A near even number of registered voters from both parties now live in our area, and the voice of independent and non-affiliated voters is critically important. I'm the candidate with the best track record of bridge building and working across the political spectrum. I'm committed to representing all people in my district. I show that through my involvement in public safety, the military, business, and agriculture. We all want responsible legislation and civility. In this race, your vote and involvement really matter. Join us at masonfororegon.com. Paid for by Mason for Oregon 21968.
Okay, for the camera conversation today, we are coming at you here at Wayward Sandwiches. You can hear that just rockin' rollin' background music. Talking with Chantel Rapp-Harney. She is the longtime president of Canby Kids, Inc. Tell us a little bit about what that organization does and has done in our community for over 40 years.
So Canby Kids is basically the youth sports programs, field sports, so Canby Youth Football, Canby Youth Lacrosse, Rebels Softball, Canby Youth Baseball, and soccer, Canby yeah. United Soccer. And we have about 1,100 kids in our programs.
A nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
Independent.
Yep. Fee supported, community supported. Been around a long time, originally founded to create relationships with the city of Canby and with the Canby School District to have places for our kids to play sports.
Year-round.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, coming here from outside of Oregon, from a different state, and I feel like a lot of folks that have, you know, transplanted to Oregon, it was so surprising to me that Canby Kids existed, because where I grew up in Maine, even going down to elementary school, all the sports was done by the schools. I mean, there was no organization yeah. like Canby Kids existed. And you were telling me before we started recording, that's at least to the middle school level, that even used to be how it was here in Canby.
Yeah, it's so I'm born and raised here in Canby.
Yeah.
I don't want to date myself,
right.
but I'm a
yeah.
original Canby kid.
Yeah.
That's my parents
your,
got
your
involved.
Your dad, former
yeah.
mayor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Longtime community.
Kind of started it with a lot of other
yeah.
Now older adults in the community,
yes.
parents.
Yeah.
Kind of saw a need for programs. We did have middle school programs when I was growing up in the, you know, 80s and early 90s, but soon with budgets kind of where they're at. We had to take on the middle school sports as well.
Yeah.
So, like, all those were cut out of school budgets in the 90s. So,
yeah.
So we were K through 6, and we became K through 8 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
So, and again, Canby's a great community, so they supported that, and we've been able to be around this long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It feels, you know, I feel like you'd be like, tell me about it, but it feels like difficult. To be an organization like that. I mean, it makes sense, you know, for the school district to do it because they have the kids, they
yeah.
have the, you know, a lot of probably coaches and teachers and things that could provide coaching, whereas you guys are sort of starting more from scratch.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think
the school district has the fields and everything.
They
have a lot more resources.
Logistically, it
yeah.
works great.
Yeah.
We have great relationships working with the school district and with the city.
Yeah.
But they just don't have the funds or the people really to... I mean, they do what they can,
yeah.
certainly.
Yeah.
We're just... And especially, I would say, in the last... After post-COVID, we've really gotten a lot more involvement from coaching people with the district high school coming into the youth programs.
Yeah.
How much... You don't know what you have till you don't have it. And yeah. and it was really missed during those years. And it was when we brought back the sports, you know, K through 8, and then the high school brought back. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes because you just is kids need something.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be sports or music or dance or what, kids need outlets and they need to, you know, do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We could be kids.
We talk a lot with, you know, on this podcast, we'll have, you know, high school athletes, high school coaches on and whatnot. And, you know, and this obviously came up a lot during COVID and whatnot. You obviously deal with younger type kids, but I'm sure it's similar. Often it's the sport or it's the activity that gets and keeps kids in school, you
yeah.
know, and you see that where the kids that are engaged in athletics often, not always, but often will have, you know, better engagement, maybe better grades, better academics, because they, you know, want to do that thing. That's the carrot.
Right.
That's their carrot.
No,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think, again, whatever kids choose to do outside of the academic part, I think.
It's not extra. It's critical.
Yeah, I agree. And the socialization and the teamwork and learning how to get along with others. I mean, to us, I mean, CAMI kids, everybody has their different vision. I think for me, Ed, it's been a while since I've coached or anything, but I always told the kids, it's not about winning and losing. It's about lifelong friendships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about teammates and being a good teammate, being on time.
Yeah.
You know, developing good habits when you're to be an adult, you know. So, and like you said, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done without sports as a kid. I don't know. My daughter's a band kid. I don't know what she would have done without band in high school.
Yeah.
You know, you just, kids need activities, and like you said, as to keep them there and engaged.
Is that the reward for you? Obviously, it's a lot of hours. It's a volunteer type position. You guys have been doing this for a long time. Is that what's fulfilling and rewarding, is seeing the impact that it has on so many kids and families?
Yeah, and honestly, the community, I thought it was a really special moment this year when the high school baseball team went so deep, because all those kids have been playing together literally
from
their life.
Yeah, they were Cambie kids. Yeah.
Exactly, and you see a whole town lined up to send them off to the state tournament, and then they're in the parade on the 4th of July, and I just think that's what makes CAMI so special, stuff like that, that, you know, the whole community stays engaged.
Yeah.
And again, I think post-COVID, I think people really value that stuff a lot more, or remember why it's important. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked a little bit, but COVID was a challenge.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking, actually. You know, not only, and then when you come back and you want to do whatever you need to do to get kids back on the field and playing, but their parents can't come watch, or their grandparents. So then you try to, and they have to be tested all the time. And, you know, I get 100% the safety issue, 100%, you know, but that's just hard. Yeah. And, you know, I think from the school district and the city's perspective, everybody really worked hard to do whatever we had to do to make that happen. And, you know, film it and watch it on a YouTube channel or whatever, and yeah, it definitely was a challenge. But again, we've been really blessed here with who we work with to keep kids on the field.
You know. And you guys don't do some of the sort of, you know, in terms of COVID, like the more higher risk, that you don't do wrestling, you don't do basketball anymore, right? Like everything's outdoors and on fields.
Yeah, we've kind of been just field sports at least 10 years of basketball.
Football being the only sort of contact one, but still outdoors.
Yeah. And even then, they provide a lot more flag football opportunities for the younger kids and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't. Gym sports, that's a whole nother price level just to have stuff inside. And it just didn't work with our model. We'd love to have them around, like if we could somehow at some point get back together, but maybe in a different setup. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
So what's the current status with CAMI Kids? What are your current needs? How can folks learn more and kind of engage with you guys if they are interested?
Yeah, well, always, you know, we have 5 sports, like I said, under our umbrella, and they fundraise individually. It's all fee-based.
Yeah.
For their fees for kids to play, and then we run on a pretty skeleton budget from an administrative standpoint, you know, to operate a 501(c) and tax liability. And
you told me the number before. It's shocking.
Well, we used to have office space, which we had a pretty good deal. Now we're in the basement over at Team Spirit.
Right, that's right.
And actually, another blessing that's come through this with all these challenges we've had the last few years is our Pass It On program, which Heather Zimmer runs that program, so kids can come down once a month and get, you know, gently used equipment or refurbished equipment, so that hopefully helps families out, you know. And all our programs offer scholarship opportunities as well. But they individually fundraise. We've done a few whole fundraisers where we've split up, but we kind of just try to keep the fee really low.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, basically we, post-COVID, the school district handles a lot more of the field maintenance, where we used to kind of do that in trade.
Yeah.
And so we rent very reasonably from the school district some of the field space. So, like, we can always use donations for that kind of stuff. volunteers, I was just, it, that's been a real challenge the last couple years.
Stop pushing the table.
As I think people, I mean, you know, it's just hard to get volunteers.
Yeah.
And so we're always looking for that. If you have an interest in football, baseball, softball, soccer, lacrosse.
Yeah.
We can always, referees.
Yeah.
umpires.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be a lot of the challenges, you know, for our programs.
Yeah.
So we can, we're always looking for that. And you can contact Canby Kids. We have a Facebook page. We have a website. We check that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Pass messages on. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks so much, Chantel, for taking time out to talk to
us
today.
Thank you for having us. We also, we were just really proud that we've, Canby has been able to support kids' sports for so long, basically, yeah. with a wonderful community, a wonderful school district, great city help, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a historical piece to this podcast and this work that we do as well, and you kind of look over the history of Canby, and Canby Kids just comes up again and again and again. I mean, you guys have a really incredible legacy that you've built. And,
we've been very fortunate to have a lot of people, you know, involved over the years that put in the time and kept it going, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for keeping that wonderful legacy alive.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass, Sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Those of us who call this area home know there's just something special about the Clackamas County Fair. Maybe it's the livestock and agricultural displays where the farmers and youngsters who toil all year to work the land and feed our country showcase the fruits of their labor. Maybe it's the food. Hey, where else can you feast on a foot-long hand-dipped corn dog and a pile of ribbon fries the size of Mount Hood? And for dessert, homemade sour cream and raisin pie? A chocolate and vanilla swirl cone from the Dairy Women Red Barn, or for the purist, the one and only elephant ear. Maybe it's the long nights on the Midway, or the unmatched thrill of man against nature in the Canby Rodeo, or the inspired performances of musicians and entertainers playing for their favorite hometown crowd. Or maybe it's that sense you get as soon as you step foot onto the historic Clackamas County Fairgrounds and you realize we do things a little differently here, and are willing to work a little harder to preserve the things we love. Whatever it is, the Clackamas County Fair has got it, and in spades. Come see everything a county fair was meant to be, only in Canby, August 16th through the 20th. Tickets on sale now at clackamascountyfair.com or on the new Clackamas County Fair app on Google Play or the Apple App Store.
Hey!
It's the highlight of every August in Clackamas County and has been for over a century. I'm talking, of course, about the Clackamas County Fair. With this year's fair set to kick off with the traditional Kitty Capers Parade in just a few short days, we thought it was only appropriate to take a look at the rich and colorful history of this Canby treasure on Canby Then. The Clackamas County Fair is the crown jewel of Canby's summer events calendar and a source of fun, nostalgia, fond memories, and perhaps even a regret or two the next time you step on the bathroom scale. But it's the county fair. It comes but once a year, and it is not the time to be quibbling over calories. If you see a sign for deep-fried ice cream on a stick or hand-battered pizza dogs smothered in jalapeno cheese sauce, you get in line. Because that's not a menu item you're likely to see at Gwyn's Coffee House or even the daring Wayward Sandwiches. But before the mind-bending taste configurations of the food court, before the bright lights and screams of the midway, there was simply the Clackamas County Fair. A few prize hogs, some vegetables and pies, and the chance to celebrate a summer of labor well spent. Though the fair has been associated with Canby seemingly since the beginning of time, residents may be surprised to learn that the first fair was actually held in Gladstone. That city's founder, Judge Harvey Cross, had been convinced to lease sizable acreage to the Chautauquas, an adult education and social movement that was sweeping the nation at the time. The newly formed Willamette Valley Chautauqua Association there established Gladstone's Chautauqua Park, which hosted an annual summer assembly with performances, lectures, and concerts, and which would grow to be the third largest permanent Chautauqua assembly park in the United States. William Jennings Bryan, an accomplished orator, lawyer, and three-time Democratic candidate for president, but who is perhaps most famous today for arguing against evolution and Clarence Darrow in the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial, drew a crowd of 6,000 to Gladstone's Chautauqua Park in 1896 to hear him give his popular lecture, The Prince of Peace, which stressed that Christian theology, though through both individual and group morality, was a solid foundation for peace and equality. Anyway, it was there, at Chautauqua Park, that the first ever Clackamas County Fair was staged on October 10th, 11th, and 12th in 1907. And by all accounts, it was a smashing success. The board of directors, which included the infamous county judge turned conman Grant P. Dimmock, engaged Nat Reese and his touring one-ring circus to put on a show for the ages, one that included a mirror maze, a premature baby in an incubator, and believe it or not, it was a common attraction in those days, and, quote, many other things familiar to patrons of carnivals and street fairs, according to the Oregonian. The Reese shows are all good and were in Portland 6 years ago under the auspices of the Woodmen of the World at the Park Blocks, the newspaper noted in a later article. Nearly 5,000 people, described by reporters as a merry, jostling crowd, attended the first fair. Oregon City, Canby, and other communities closed businesses early and crowded into whatever automobiles they could find that were headed up to Gladstone. The produce, livestock, and other exhibits that were submitted for judging drew rave reviews, with O.E. Freytag of Fern Ridge Farm earning the most bragging rights as he took home no fewer than 34 blue ribbons for his vegetables. It has been my good fortune, said United States Senator Charles William Fulton in an address to county fairgoers, to have visited nearly every section of the state during the last few months, and it really does one's heart good to see these splendid products of the soil. You have a fair here that a few years ago would have been considered great for the state fair, and Clackamas County is certainly to be congratulated. One of the biggest draws Friday night was the baby show, not the incubator, but a lighthearted event in which children and families were invited to be judged on various merits. The rivalry of the mothers was keen, and the strife among the parents for their youngsters caused much good-natured comment, the Oregonian recorded. Mrs. McDonald won the premium offered for the largest family on the grounds, and she exhibited 11 fine specimens of the young American. One can only hope her prize was an award-winning pumpkin or other squash to feed all those hungry mouths. The Nat Reese shows ended with a bang, their ever-popular Mardi Gras and Mask Carnival. The gates were open till dark to welcome all to a confetti battle royale and tour the blaze of lights along the midway. It did not take long, less than 2 weeks, in fact, for the city of Canby to have designs on bringing the Clackamas County Fair into its borders. At a meeting of Canby citizens on October 22nd, it was decided to endeavor to have the permanent location of this exposition held at Canby. According to newspapers of the day, it was further decided that Canby could provide the accommodations needed and raise all funds necessary for the successful conduct of the fair, and committees were appointed to arrange the matter. They already had a spot picked out. More than 40 acres were available on what is now 4th Avenue east of town, on land once owned by Supreme Court Chief Justice Aaron Waite and still held by his descendants. It took almost a year for the Canby Development League and its 24 citizen members, led by R.S. Coe, to get things arranged, but they were ultimately successful in bringing the fair to its permanent home in 1908, in what would soon be forever established as the Clackamas County Fairgrounds. Groundbreaking was held in late July of that year, the Canby Tribune records, to begin construction on the fairgrounds buildings and a first-class racetrack. From the enthusiasm displayed, it is safe to predict that this will be one of the most successful county fairs in the state of Oregon, an unbiased reporter later wrote. Arriving at the grounds on that Monday, July 20th, the party halted under the cool shades of drooping firs and could not help but make remarks on the momentous occasion. Judge Dimmick, as did all the other speakers, advised the people of Canby to do all in their power to make the fair a success by talking and working for the enterprise in season and out of season, the Tribune said. He told the wonderful advantages to the county such as an institution would be and how it could be made a success or a failure. A Judge Ryan was said to be equally as fervent in his advocacy of measures that will ensure the complete success of the fair. Another early fair booster, Professor Theodore James Gary, went even further. Mr. Gary advised everybody to boot up, and if we hear anyone talking against the fair, to take him out and hang him, or something to that effect, the newspaper noted. His remarks were timely and well received. Well, of course, we have much, much more to tell you about the history of our wonderful Clackamas County Fair. But that's all the time we have for today. The rest will have to wait till next time on Canby Then.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.